Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of a special day here in the calendar. It is a leap year in 2024. It is Thursday, February 29th. That is a leap day. It only comes around once every 4 years. We celebrate here on this Thursday on the early line. Still two more hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us all across the Spiz Grizz Network. That is Sports Grid. Donnie, one of the reasons we love NFL Combine Week in Indianapolis is not because of the workouts or the measurements or the interviews with the prospects expected to go early on in the 2024 NFL draft, but because we get to hear from the movers and shakers around the National Football League, including general managers, including New York's Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, who was up on the podium yesterday and mentioned that Zach Wilson has earned permission from the team to seek out a trade. Thank you, Joe. That's a big bit of breaking news yesterday in Indy.
Yeah, and maybe he should get the agent for Tommy Cutlets here, so maybe in the offseason he can do a couple $1,000s here, you know, pizza shop here, pizza shop there, and have some fun with that. That should be the only phone calls that Zach Wilson is actually going to get, because why would anybody take on his contract, which is an $11 million cap hit, when you know he's going to be cut from the Jets, and you can get him for the veteran minimum of $1 million per year if you want to resurrect his career at this point here. Great news for Joe Douglas here. Fantastic news for the rest of the NFL, because why? Nobody cares about Zach Wilson. He's not being traded. He will get cut.
I don't think he is going to have a market to be traded to. Let's make sure we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here into hour number two of the early line on this Thursday. Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Is there a market for Zach Wilson? I don't really think so. Could somebody offer up a sixth or seventh round draft pick and a ton of cash to New York in return? Maybe, just maybe. But again, I think Zach Wilson will be released. And they tried, Donnie. They really tried in the three-year tenure of Zach Wilson in New York, not only as the starter in his rookie season and at times throughout year number two, but he was supposed to sit back under Aaron Rodgers, learn from one of the greatest in the modern era in the National Football League. And when Aaron's career came to a close for gangrene, Zach Wilson would step up and in once again as a reclamation project. Well, that time for Zach Wilson to step up and in came a lot sooner than anybody around the National Football League expected, after only four offensive snaps for the Jets into 2023 in the injury to Aaron Rodgers. And because they still had that belief in Zach Wilson, and because even with Aaron Rodgers not playing, they still thought he would be able to tutor Zach Wilson in those meetings and throughout the locker room, they did not make a move for another quarterback, and it ended as a disaster and really gave zero hope for Zach Wilson to be a serviceable starting quarterback with New York or any other NFL team. And I do want to take this quick moment, DRS, to address the 2021 NFL draft class, because it was one of two drafts that tied a record high with five quarterbacks taken in the first round. More than likely, we are going to see five, maybe six quarterbacks taken here in the 2024 NFL draft in the opening round. Trevor Lawrence, first overall, enters year four in Jacksonville. Still the guy there, maybe a few questions about the overall ceiling, but still a really good investment with that first overall pick. Zach Wilson, second overall by the New York Jets. His time with the team is coming to a close. Trey Lance, number three overall to the San Francisco 49ers, already traded last offseason for a fourth-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys. Justin Fields, the 11th overall pick of the 2021 NFL Draft, seems as though his time in Chicago is coming to an end as well. Same with Mac Jones, who was the 15th overall pick for the New England Patriots. Four of the five quarterbacks taken in the opening 15 picks of the first round of the 2021 NFL Draft more than likely will not be on the respective franchise that drafted them by the time they reach year number four in the National Football League.
Yeah, crapshoot all the way around, sink or swim. We see it so many times. Some of these quarterbacks are set up with very good coaching and a good system around them so they can flourish. Some guys are just set up to absolutely fail. And even take a look at Zach Wilson's season this year. You're right. It was one of those, hey, you know what? All the pressure's off me. I'm going to sit back, watch Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I'll get some maturity and a different vantage point than going out there and just making mistakes and not learning from them. Don't you remember, Ben, like late in the season? Like, hey, by the way, we're injured all the way through. Hey, Zach, we need you out there to play. And the rumors were coming out early in the week like Zach is literally telling the Jets and Robert Saleh, yeah, I don't feel like playing this week, and I don't even think it's in my best interest, as opposed to getting out there and actually playing good football so you can have a team next year. That shows how bad the Jets organization has ran, particularly on the offensive side of the ball with Nathaniel Hackett, something that you can look forward to maybe as a resurrecting of a career. But like, where does Zach Wilson go? Does he go to like the Kansas City Chiefs as the third option? Maybe I can learn in a different organization.
Yeah.
That's really the only way. But as for trading for him and using draft capital, that ain't happening.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that will be the story now for Zach Wilson. What is that next step, if there is a next step, in the National Football League? So again, there were five quarterbacks taken in the 2021 NFL Draft's opening round. Only one in 2022, three last year, all in the top four. Might we see six this year in 2024? And might we see Jaden Daniels go in the top three? I would assume so. Yesterday at the NFL Scouting Combine, Jaden Daniels, a ton of meetings with teams around the National Football League. He met with the Bears, who have the number one overall pick, the Commanders, second overall, the Vikings, 11th overall, the Jets, the Giants, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Seahawks, and the Saints. The Pats draft third overall. Jaden Daniels is going to be a very buzzworthy potential top three pick in this draft cycle over the next 2 months, the 2023 Heisman winner.
Yeah, and this is one of the guys this is the wild card of the draft. Not to say like, ooh, we think he can be good. All his measurables are there. So teams want to get in the room of like, you probably know what you get out of Drake May, right? Same thing with Caleb going number one overall, which is probably what it's going to go. But I think a lot of these teams just want to talk with Jaden Daniels just to see if that hype measures up to, man, that was a great interview. He was phenomenal on the chalkboard here. I can't wait to see him on his pro day when he runs in a straight line 40-yard dash and blazes a 4.3 40. He is the most intriguing prospect by far in the quarterback draft. Teams want to get in that same room with them just to try to feel them out.
And here are the odds for Jaden Daniels in the markets that are available right now to be the first, second, or third overall pick. Caleb Williams, a hefty favorite at minus 600 to go first overall. Daniels, 25-1, third best price behind both Williams and Drake May. Drake May, the odds-on favorite, a minus 135 price to go second overall. Jaden Daniels, second best number. But here's an interesting distinction. Both Daniels and May, co-favorites to go third overall. Currently, the Patriots hold that draft pick at a plus 170 price. Jaden Daniels played his last 2 years at LSU, won a Heisman for the Bayou Bengals in 2023. He started his college career at Arizona State, a new Big 12 team, and new markets available in college football. The ACC and the Big 12 title are next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling through the final day of February before we get to March Madness. It is hour number two of the early line. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Ben Stevens. And you might think we're talking NBA action, maybe a little more NFL action. But no, it's not even baseball action yet, because we are still finding our way through the offseason here in college football and setting you up for next year. And it is very important, Ben, because when we take a look at situations around these, well, why are we previewing other conferences here? There's more teams that make the playoffs, more teams next year that you need to know about. So the sooner that we get the information out to the people, the better here. The best part about this, we're going to start in the Big 12. Here's what I love. Do you know who's favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Big 12 in 2024? It's Utah. Yes, you heard that correct. same team that was in the Pac-12 last year at 5-4 and roughly in what, sixth place overall, is now the favorite here, followed by Kansas State, Kansas, Arizona, and Texas Tech. And by the way, shout out the state of Kansas here, putting two teams in the top three to win the Big 12. By the way, Lance Leipold also, big contract extension and rightfully deserved as well. The Big 12 next year, Ben, talk to me about this.
So, Donnie, in the conference realignment world that we live in college football, I was excited to see all the conference championship odds, unlike my co-host for next year, 2024, in CFP. But I was most interested in seeing what the Big 12 title landscape would look like. I knew Georgia was going to be the favorite more than likely in the SEC. I knew Ohio State was going to be the favorite in the Big 10. Clemson, Florida State in the ACC, as we'll get to. But with the reimagined Big 12, now with 16 members, how was it going to look into 2024? I thought Utah might be booked as the favorite, and that's what we have. Utah plus 340. If you've been paying attention, the Utes are a team to trifle with. Before last season, and their starting quarterback Cam Rising not playing a single game, the Utes had won two consecutive Pac-12 titles. Cam Rising is back for yet another year based on eligibility that runs rampant in college football. That is why Utah is booked as the favorite even in its first year in the Big 12 conference. A big shout to the Sunflower State, as Donnie mentioned. K-State right there neck and neck, only 20 cents behind the Utes in Kansas, keeping Lance Leipold in Lawrence. Jalen Daniels returns as the quarterback for KU, one of the most dynamic players at the quarterback position, not only in this league, but all around college football. In Arizona, despite the upheaval earlier this offseason, Jed Fish, who had built back the program, departing to go to Washington after Kalen DeBoer goes to Alabama. They bring in Brent Brennan, the former San Jose State head coach. We thought that the quarterback Noah Fifita would follow Jed Fish perhaps to Seattle. He stayed in Tucson. Arizona is loaded once again. I am very intrigued to see how the Big 12 plays right now, and I think the odds are correct. If I was going to bet which team I like to win the Big 12 conference, give me the Kansas Jayhawks, the most dynamic player at the quarterback position in this conference, Jalen Daniels, and the program builder, Lance Leipold. If there was ever a year for KU to win a football championship in the Big 12, 2024 is that.
A lot of upheaval, too. You take a look at a team that was battling for a national championship just a few short years ago, TCU at a 16-1 price. Now, we do have the expanded playoffs this year, Ben. If we keep the talk in the Big 12, is this a Power 5 conference that will get at least two teams into the playoff?
No.
Or are we looking at just the single bid here from them?
I think it's a single bid league, frankly, just based on how the rankings are going to go and how we see things in the college football playoff, at least based on what the selection committee has shown us throughout its 10 years. Now, of course, a new format. They are going to earn that automatic berth as one of the Power Four into the college football playoff, and the champion will probably get that opening round bye into the second round, the quarterfinal round of the new 12-team CFP. But I don't think a two-loss Big 12 team will get a nod over a two-loss Big 10 or SEC team, or maybe even a three-loss Big 10 or SEC team. At most, it would be two. Frankly, based on the national championship odds that we have, I think out of the Big 12, it's only one team, which makes winning the conference championship paramount in this league next season.
Let's take a look at the ACC odds next year, and also conference realignment rears its head as you see a 55-1 price on the Cal Golden Bears in the ACC. Yes, the Atlantic Coast Conference has Cal in it, so get ready for that one to come up. But the usual suspects here, Ben, up top, that's Clemson, that's Florida State, and it's Miami, followed closely there by Louisville. We all saw what happened last year for FSU. If the playoff was 1 year later expanded, FSU gets in. This past year, they did not get in. Clemson, Florida State, Miami. Let's start at the top here, Ben, in the ACC. What are we looking at?
It does not surprise me to see the co-favorites in Clemson and Florida State. Of course, FSU maybe not all that thrilled to remain in the ACC. That's where they will be at least for 2024. I say that we could see changes by this summer. But Florida State at the moment will play in the ACC in 2024. Of course, not only the devastating end of the year for the Seminoles, but there is going to be so much roster attrition for FSU, as we saw in the bowl game, and will even be furthered this year throughout 2024. But Florida State, the best price out of teams from the ACC to win a national championship, it is in the top 15 in the country. So I think Florida State should be the favorite in the ACC. Of course, they are going to lose a ton, but they bring in DJ Uiagalelei, as the new quarterback for Florida State. He is now in FSU. He knows the ACC. He knows the Clemson Tigers. Listen, until Dabo Swinney gives up the reins and starts to attack the transfer portal and adds to the skill positions around quarterback Cade Klubnik, I can't really trust what Clemson has done offensively based on the previous three seasons. I believe Florida State should have the edge. Now, you tell me, DRS, what in the world is Miami doing up there at a plus 450 price, and the Canes having a 9.5 win total entering this new season? I know Cameron Ward is now the quarterback in South Florida, but are we trusting Mario Cristobal to lead his team to an ACC championship and maybe even college football playoff contention?
Look, here's what we know about Miami. Mario Cristobal can put the people in the seats. Not the fans I'm talking about. I'm talking about the players that you need to succeed. Coaching them up may be a different thing here. But Cam Ward coming over was an absolute boon here. You got a guy that can hit the ground running right away in a down ACC, which might be the difference in you winning an extra game or two that you didn't last year. But also, if we do take a look at the top, we can officially say Clemson's lost a little bit of luster of those years under, you know, Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, but they're still a quality football team. And as we know with Florida State, straight up embarrassing. I mean, how are you going to follow a coach where the players don't even listen to him and, quite frankly, left town where he couldn't keep them together? They got embarrassed by Georgia. We'll be looking at Florida State as a 5-win football team next year. So why not the Miami Hurricanes there in South Beach taking control of the ACC and winning this, Ben? Why not is the question.
Well, Mario Cristobal is why not just during his time at Miami, but back during his days in Eugene with an Oregon team that would contend for Pac-12 titles. He, as a coach, his game management and decision-making is highly questionable. There are some that look at Miami based on all the talent on the roster and see a similar jump in year number three to what Steve Sarkisian had last year in Austin for Texas. I remain a little bit more skeptical than that for Miami this season in the ACC. Also a note, we are talking about the 12-team college football playoff, but if you saw the update from Yahoo's Ross Dellinger yesterday, the CFP Board of Governors who met last week in Dallas and discussed a 14-team college football playoff have a very weird structure for it. Three auto bids for the Big Ten and the SEC, two apiece for both the ACC and the Big 12, auto bid for a Group of Five conference champion as well, and then three at-large bids. I hate it. What about you, Donnie?
How about this? There's 14 teams you want in. Why don't we pick the best 14 teams? What a novel concept, Ben, that we can all agree upon. Just not the people making the right decisions, or should I say wrong decisions.
The people running college football, I wish you loved the sport as much as the people that love college football, because you clearly do not. More of a football focus up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Again, the jokes that happen right before we come back from a commercial break here on the Spiz Grizz Network. If the mics were hot, you'd really be hearing some very fun things. We welcome you back to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and now joining us once again, the man in the middle. It's the hardest working man at the Spiz Grizz, even when he's under the weather. That is Joe Ranieri. No longer under the weather, though, and rearing to go on this Thursday here on TEL. What did you do yesterday? In-game live and game time decisions and Newswire. What's the schedule for this Thursday for you, JR, as well?
Yeah, no, in-game live primetime tonight here. We'll be covering all of these games coming up in college hoops. Obviously, NBA action here tonight. So a little something for everybody. We got you covered at 8 o'clock Eastern. Mm.
You always have us covered. That I know very, very well. So, Joe, as we start with a football focus, looking at the NFL draft and slightly beyond before we get into college hoops later this evening, you were born and raised here in the greater New York area. You know the New York Jets very well. I believe you consider yourself even a fan of gangrene. We got the news yesterday out of Indianapolis that GM Joe Douglas of this Jets organization has given Zach Wilson permission to seek a trade. So my question to you, Joe, is anybody in the National Football League calling Zach Wilson?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I had to take a few minute break yesterday when this news broke. I was just floored that this announcement came down. I was really looking forward to Zach Wilson being the backup. Said absolutely no Jet fan in the history of Jet fans ever. You got to be kidding me. I don't know what took you so long, but congratulations. Good luck in trying to find that new team. But did you see some of the teams that are being given love as a possibility for him to show up there? Teams like Kansas City as a backup. Teams like the Buffalo Bills as a backup court. Are you out of your mind? Oh, I hope they line up to grab him, because they can be as miserable as Jet fans have been with the 3 years after drafting him. But listen, if we've learned anything a year ago, it was that quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, they are a rare breed. And if you have any semblance of talent whatsoever, chances are you're going to have a phone call and a job at some point over the next 12 months.
Yeah, the Edmonton Elks may be a great landing spot for Zach Wilson. It is a real CFL team, yes. They actually changed their moniker a couple years ago, like the Washington Commanders had to do, so a little bit of problems up there. We're now the Elks here, so maybe he's going to be an Elk moving forward. Now, guys that can change the landscape of an NFL team, Joe Ranieri, let's start with the draft, and that's Jaden Daniels, one of the more electric athletes we saw last year, Heisman Trophy winner. He's making his rounds around the league. So we'll start here. The odds to be the number one overall draft pick, maybe the number two or number three, we'll hold off there. If we're looking at top of the leaderboard here, which means Caleb Williams number one, maybe Daniels and May number two, how does Jaden Daniels stack up, and maybe a good landing spot for Jaden Daniels in your mind here in the NFL draft?
Well, I'm not 100% sold that Chicago's just going to take Caleb Williams. I'm not sold that they don't possibly trade out, trade down in that spot here and accumulate more picks here. I'm not. Exactly. And we shouldn't be sold, because if it's one thing we know from now right up until the time they get to the podium, there's going to be nothing but disinformation being thrown out there from teams about who they like, who they don't like. Let's be realistic here. But I do find it interesting with Cliff Kingsbury, with Washington sitting at that number two spot, and his history here with Caleb Williams. Does Washington go up and get him? If Chicago sells it enough, is that really who Washington wants? Because if they let him take Caleb Williams, I think they'll be more than happy with Jaden Daniels sitting there at the number two spot.
So when you look at Jaden Daniels right now, Joe, and where the odds are, he has the third best price at a lofty 25-1 number to go first overall. Caleb Williams, a very strong favorite, -1600, almost a guarantee, but nothing is a lock when it comes to betting the NFL draft. Drake May, the second best price. Drake May is an odds-on favorite to be the second overall pick, but Jaden Daniels not all that far behind. Both Jaden Daniels and Drake May, co-favorites to go third overall at +170. There is uncertainty in those NFL draft odds for the top three quarterbacks. So who do you think is more likely to go to, Drake May or Jaden Daniels?
I think at this point, everything we're hearing and reading is that it's going to be Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels in some order. And again, that order might be where Washington, because of the relationship with Cliff Kingsbury, you bring back Cliff Kingsbury, right? So you've got an opportunity for him to have a very high comfort level, knows everything about Caleb Williams there from USC. If he likes him and moves up and gets him, he's going to be, number one way or the other. At the least, I don't see him falling past number two. Drake May is interesting because of his history with the Minnesota Vikings new quarterback coach there, Josh McGowan. Josh actually coached him in high school. So he knows him very, very well, and we don't know what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins, do we? So Minnesota could also very well be a player to move up, whether it be in that number three spot. If Drake May is still available, I think Minnesota is going to be in play to maybe move up and go get themselves a quarterback, at which point, Kirk Cousins is going to be an extremely hot commodity over the next couple of months.
Joe, we like to take a look at all the angles here, particularly from an NFL ownership perspective. And the reason I'm bringing up ownership is Caleb Williams has let it be known on the record, something you can't even do. Hey, if I'm the number one overall draft pick, some of my compensation better be ownership in that franchise here. The reason I bring this up here is because if you're taking a look at a player who might drive a hard bargain here and maybe not the easiest person to get along with, and I'm not even saying that could happen to Caleb Williams, could that actually be a deterrent where somebody goes, man, Jaden Daniels, the total package, had the kid around here a couple times, went out to eat with them, met the entire organization. This is the guy I want to lead here, whereas opposed to Caleb Williams, maybe a little bit more cold and more businesslike, saying, what can you do for me, not what I can do for you. Could that factor in here to the number one overall pick?
Well, it was funny because I heard him. That was what was coming out of his camp. And then when he was told no, he started crying his eyes out. And I'm not quite sure what that means moving forward, outside of the fact that why don't you settle down, Caleb Williams? Okay, settle down, pal. All right, you haven't done any. You didn't even do anything at USC. So congrats on your Heisman from 2 years ago. Congrats on your 7 wins last year. Like, why don't we settle down before we start giving ownership? It's got to come into play, Donnie. There is no way you're not vetting these guys. And by the way, how many quarterbacks are going in the first round? What, 5, 6 they have estimated here? Like, settle down with the, you're not like one of a kind here. There's dudes that we can argue from now until draft day that should be taken above you. That doesn't scream ownership to me.
Okay, so both of you guys are part of the problem. Yep. Both of you guys are part of the false discourse about this story. Caleb Williams himself has never inquired about ownership into a National Football League franchise. He is not represented by your ordinary agent. He is represented by business advisors in his camp and mainly his father, Carl. As it has been reported, his dad, Carl, has asked NFL organizations a variety of things, including ownership into a franchise that has never come from Caleb Williams, maybe slightly in his camp, but not Caleb Williams. All of these narratives, though, do drive the NFL draft cycle in what could hinder a prospect's candidacy to be that number one overall pick. And I think it's part of the reason people do not feel Caleb Williams is the generational talent we touted him to be entering last year. That, and the on-field lack of success for USC as a team in the biggest spots, just a 7-5 record in 2023. Speaking of college
bringing
football,
me to tears,
Joe Harry,
man, you're bringing me to tears. You really are.
I mean, I'm just making sure here on the early line that we are stating the correct things and not allowing Don Brightside to run with a false narrative. We can have our doubts about Caleb Williams and his character, if so, please, but we just got to get our facts straight and how we do so. Quickly here, Joe, to end out this segment as we transition to college football, the conference championship odds for next season are now out in the reimagined landscape thanks to realignment. In the SEC, Georgia is the favorite. All right, that makes sense, plus 185, but not Alabama with the second best price. Not even the third best number for the Tide. Fourth best price at plus 950. Texas, Joe, second best number to win the SEC championship in its first year in the conference at 3-1. Make some sense of the SEC odds for us in this final minute.
A lot of question marks, right? And I do think the transfer opens up again right around April. So that'll be the next wave of craziness of who's going where and who's doing what. Hey, listen, I think there is no doubt that Alabama, too many question marks for the first time in a very long time. No more Nick Saban. Kalen DeBoer is fantastic. Theoretically, there should not be a huge drop-off for Alabama. So Alabama, Georgia, give them their due. They're always going to be the best recruiters. But maybe this narrative around Alabama might create a little value before the season starts, where folks expecting a bigger drop-off than they're going to get with Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah. Texas, a very easy is a tough thing. One of the easier SEC schedules in its first season. College Hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line, we turn our attention from the NFL, the NFL draft, college football conversations into college basketball. It is a leap year. It is leap day. One final day in the month of February before we get to March tomorrow. That's when the intensity and the madness is amplified in college hoops. On the second to last night of February, what a slate it was. Joe Ranieri joining us for this second consecutive segment on a Wednesday night around the country in college basketball. Certainly in the SEC. Top 15 tilt in Knoxville between 4th-ranked Tennessee, 11th-ranked Auburn, and it lived up to the billing. The Volunteers behind 39 points from Dalton Connect win 92-84. Jani Broome had 23 on the other side to lead Auburn. The biggest stars on the biggest stage showed out in a competitive basketball game, but Tennessee does prevail, winning by 8, covering as a 6.5-point home favorite. What did last night's result in Knoxville tell you about these two frontrunners in the SEC?
Well, it showed us, I think, what we should have known already, and that is Tennessee still very good at home. Tennessee also very much capable of going toe-to-toe with up-tempo offenses and scoring a ton of points. I mean, when you think about it, even Bruce Pearl said it after the game. He's like, we scored 84 points on the road. That is usually more than enough to be able to win a game, but not when you give up 92 to Tennessee, who was, by the way, losing that game at one point in the second half. I mean, they were down 63-55 before Connect took over and just rattled off, I think, 11 straight points, scored the final 20 of 23 points they scored. I mean, the kid had an unbelievable 11-12-minute stretch there in the second half that ended up getting it done for Tennessee, but big players show up at the biggest moments here. This was a big game for Tennessee. And now quietly, they're one of the best top four or five teams in the country that, again, not a lot of people are talking about here in what is a loaded SEC conference for sure.
Yeah, we take a look at Tennessee moving forward, too, because we still have a couple games left in SEC play before we get to the conference tournaments and then March Madness. You started last night with a win over a top 15 program, but if we take a look at Tennessee's next three games here, Joe, at number 14, Alabama, at number 18, South Carolina, and then Kentucky at home to end the regular season. What can we find out about Tennessee over these final three games? And from your vantage point, do they have to go 2-1? Is it trouble if they go 1-2, 3-0, 0-3? Talk to me about Tennessee down the stretch and what you anticipate from them here.
Well, I mean, listen, Tennessee's got a lot of experience on this team, right? Rick Barnes is also one of the better coaches that you would want in this spot down the stretch. Now, the problem with them right now is that they are clearly in the conversation for a number one seed at this particular point as they move forward. Mm-hmm. So they kind of control their own destiny here, Tennessee. It's not going to be easy, but I do think they have more than just Connect who can show up at any particular point and win them a game down the stretch here. I always thought Tennessee was going to be a legit threat here for this year in an Elite Eight Final Four spot, maybe even a national championship. The injury bug got them late last year. I don't see that happening this year. If they remain healthy, I think Tennessee is absolutely in the conversation for a national championship.
So one of the issues with Tennessee and having that full optimism is Rick Barnes in the NCAA tournament, 25 and 26. The Vols under Barnes have not reached in Elite Eight. Their last regional final was in the 2010 NCAA tournament. But I would agree, this Tennessee team certainly has the makeup. Dalton Knecht, Zakai Ziegler at the point guard position, just to name a few, for the Volunteers. Tennessee, an odds-on favorite at minus 125 to win the SEC championship. Alabama not all that far behind, though, minus 110. Those two teams will face off in a game that might decide the regular season title in the Southeastern Conference on Saturday between Alabama and Tennessee. The game scheduled to be played in Tuscaloosa. Now to the Big East. Again, Joe, we have said this a few times throughout the show. You might be thinking of Marquette and think, man, that was a team that got beat by nearly 30 by UConn a couple of Saturdays ago. But outside of that, Marquette has been sensational. They have won 11 of their last 12 games. They have covered in 10 of those 11 wins. Marquette has won all three games since the loss to the Huskies, and they have won all three games by at least 22 points, including a 91-69 victory over Providence last night at home in Milwaukee. What do you think the ceiling is for the Golden Eagles this time around?
Well, it's not great if Kolick is out, which, you know, he missed that second, most of that game there last night with an oblique injury. And there has not been any confirmed reports on what does that mean moving forward. I mean, Shaka Smart said after the game that he didn't know the extent of the injury. You know, we're talking about the reigning Big East player of the year here. Now, obviously, they didn't need him to beat Providence at home. I mean, it was 24-4 to start the game, and then that was all she wrote. It was done. But he's going to be a pretty valuable piece if we're going to take Marquette seriously. And I usually don't like to look at them as double-digit favorites. Shaka Smart teams have always been pure money as a dog. But they need their full complement. They need Kolick here. So hopefully it's not a long-term injury. And if it's not, then Marquette is showing us here time and time again, they're a legit player here coming out of the Big East.
Yeah.
Maybe another legit player here coming out of the ACC could be those Duke Blue Devils who hammered a bad Louisville team last night. But obviously, we're waiting to see if Filipowski was going to play. He did play, but more of a big picture look at the Duke Blue Devils. The ACC, the Carolina Tar Heels, 14-3, lead that conference, followed by Duke at 13-4. Duke's got a couple game winnable games coming up there. Virginia usually was a really tough out, probably not so much this year. NC State as well. But that last game of the season, which is every single year, Joe, coming up against North Carolina. Give me a look at the Duke preview for you for the rest of the way out. And can they win the ACC here?
So let me get this straight. Filipowski goes to the national media after the away game and screams bloody murder. They were coming after me, acting as if the Wake Forest fans, first of all, had any idea who the hell you even were. Number two, you made it seem as if there was intent to hurt you and that you were hurt. You were acting as if they had just, we had lost, Duke has lost you for the rest of the season here with how dramatic you are over that storming of the court. And you show up no problem yesterday and beat Louisville like nothing happened. Like, please, the ACC is trash this year to begin with. You know, when Clemson is in the conversation for maybe the best team, I'm not buying North Carolina at this point, although I think they can score with anybody. Duke, sorry, not buying it either here. I just think there are too many other teams in other conferences that are really that much better than what these teams in the ACC are, including Duke. I mean, congratulations, you beat Louisville. Okay, you still lost to Wake Forest and cried about it the entire time like guys were, you know, purposely storming the court to hurt you. Like, I'm not buying it here. Everyone's fault but Duke's. Not consistent enough for me this year in order to even consider them for an Elite Eight situation.
So that loss to Wake Forest, as we focus on just the basketball component of it, snapped a five-game win streak for the Blue Devils, a five-game win streak in which they covered in all five victories. They covered last night at home back inside Cameron Indoor as a 20.5-point favorite against the Cardinals. Again, it was expected to be lopsided and it certainly was. Now, from the fallout of the court storming aftermath, I don't think Duke handled the injury report around Kyle Filipowski very well. A severe knee injury, a twisted ankle to only being sore a few days later, and then, of course, playing in the very next game. Duke's thoughts on court storming and putting a player or fan in the position to be involved in a collision, I think, are warranted. Duke fell to 5-3 overall this year, dropped its ACC opener way back in December on the road in Atlanta against Georgia Tech, who has actually beat a couple of good teams on its own home floor this year, including North Carolina. But people had some questions about the outlook for Duke at that stage. Since that point, the Dukies have won 17 of 20. They have won 6 of their last 7, and the Blue Devils have covered in all 6 of those victories. So national championship odds at this moment. I ask you a two-part question, Joe. One, are we too close to the bracket? Well, you want to see how the field of 68 lays out before you dive into a national championship price. If not, and you are focused on a team or two, who might those schools be at this moment?
It's an interesting list here right now. Obviously, I'm a big believer in you're the champs until somebody beats you. And there is absolutely no reason to think that UConn can't go back to back. Houston has been this price at this point in the season. I feel like over the last 4 years, it's the same old with Houston. Could this be the year that Houston finally gets over the hump? You've got Purdue, but if you think Rick Barnes is a problem, try Matt Painter in the tournament and betting money on him. You got to be kidding me. But we just talked about Tennessee, right? Marquette. I really think the national champion is coming from that left side there, from that UConn, Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee. I think Arizona is absolutely the most mind-numbing team because of the amount of talent, their size, their athleticism, their shooting. Caleb, they have how they have lost games this year the way they have is absolutely mind-numbing.
Yeah.
But it may not matter if they don't lose another game, will it? And we should not be shocked. The only thing I'm shocked about with Arizona is that they're that high a price. That is entirely too much talent for a team that has a legit chance of going toe-to-toe with anybody on that list there. So I think that left side there, Tennessee, Arizona, Purdue, Houston, UConn, one of those is going to be a national champion.
The correct response, Joe, would have been like, you like everybody on the right side of that screen to cash in on a national championship. And on that right side, a little bit farther over, are the Kentucky Wildcats at a 30-1 price. For 3 weeks, Joe, I've been eyeing them up, but apparently so is the rest of the country. Talk to me about public interest and public dogs heading into the tournament. Should you avoid them? Or you know what? Do your own handicapping. Let it where it settles here.
There's a lot of parity this year, Donnie. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. We are seeing teams that we thought were really good lose to teams they shouldn't. There has been a lot of playing down to competition this year, which makes it very dangerous come tournament time. Listen, there's always going to be that inevitable Purdue loses to Fairleigh Dickinson. Like, what the hell just happened here? If they can survive that, then I do think those middle, the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that ballpark, there's going to be, I think, a few more upsets this year than we are used to seeing here. So a little more uncertainty as we head into the March Madness here. And that includes for the top two seeds in each bracket.
We saw a ton of madness a season ago. No one seeds into the Elite Eight. We had seeds at 4 or lower into the Final Four for the first time in NCAA tournament history. Joe Ranieri will be here for all the madness on In Game Live Primetime later today on Sports Grid. We round out hour 2 of the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, ending out this second hour of the Early Line on this Thursday, all across the Sports Grid Network. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. You can scan that QR code right there on your screen. In a matter of moments, all of our insight and information available in the palm of your hand. We love hearing from the people. At the end of this second hour, following the Battle of Los Angeles last night between the Lakers and the Clippers, the Lakers winning 3 of 4 this regular season. The Lakers, a 21-point dramatic comeback last night in the fourth quarter to win that third game over the Clippers this season. Who has a better outlook this year and maybe beyond? Who wins an NBA championship first between the Lakers and the Clippers from this point out? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, Clippers or Lakers? Who wins an NBA title first? The Clippers have about 59% of the vote. The Lakers a little bit shy of 41%. Donnie Wrightside, are you fading the public?
Another electric poll dealing with the NBA here has got the people jumping early on a Thursday morning here. Clippers and the Lakers played last night late. Maybe the people are still sleeping in from that exciting game voting on this, but I did vote with the people that stepped up close to 60%. It's the Clippers for me here, Ben. Just simply put, I think they're a better team, which means they have a best chance to win a championship this year over the Lakers and also into the future. If LeBron James says, I want to get paid for another 3 years on the Lakers, he'll eat up a massive amount of that salary cap. There is no rebuild in L.A. for the Lakers. I'll take the Clippers here, Ben.
Well, we just have to start with the roast that was of the Fade the Public poll. Yeah. Whenever it's an NBA poll for the public, they don't love it as much as an NFL poll, even with something that happened just last night and was the marquee game on the NBA slate. We're going to have to reassess. I'll give you my thoughts on the Clippers versus the Lakers when hour three starts in 55 seconds.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.